Phoenix FM.
Now, I've been having a fantastic chat with my guest in the studio. It's guest writer Alan Kendall, who's written a book called Aphantasia, which is Experience, Perceptions and Insights. Alan's here to talk about the condition, which affects 2 to 4%, is it, of the population?
Probably about 2 to 3.
2 to 3. And this is Alan's first book. It's just absolutely fascinating. So, before we talk about the book, tell us about the condition.
Okay, it's a condition which, simply expressed, is you don't have a mind's eye. That is, you can't see images inside your mind. You'll see images through your eyes, as everyone else does, but you can't visualise anything inside your own mind. And you're not able to produce images of things you've seen in the past or historically.
And this also affects, you know, if I was to have just heard a song and I can probably sing the song in my head, that can't happen either.
No, I don't get any audio either. So, but the way the condition manifests in me might not be the same for anyone else that has the condition. It could be unique. We don't really know. We know people have differences, and the more I talk to, the more I realise the differences can be, but we don't really know yet. We just know the condition's name, and we know some of the attributes you can have if you have it.
Now, at the moment, you might be thinking, I know there's a Christmas tree behind me. I was saying about realities to Alan earlier. He was giving me a funny look. But anyway, I know there is a Christmas tree behind me, although I can't see it. But in my mind's eye, I can visualise that. I know there's a notice board there. There's the crackers on that tree. And I can see it as I'm talking about it.
Yeah.
But if you were to shut your eyes, or not even shut your eyes, if you turned away from that, you cannot picture that tree behind you.
Yeah, this is possibly where it gets even stranger.
Right.
If I shut my eyes.
Yeah.
I get blackness. I don't see anything.
Yeah.
With my eyes open, I get some essence of a visualisation of something, but you wouldn't be able to draw from it. If I sketched what I saw, you would say, what is that?
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't have enough of its physical form to represent what you thought I was thinking of.
Yeah.
So it's kind of slightly more stranger than even first appears, to be honest. Imagine your front door at home. You kind of know what it looks like.
Yeah.
I kind of know what it looked like because I've seen it so many times, but I couldn't describe it to you in enough detail so you could recognise it if you drove down the road. So it's very limited in what I can actually think. It does become that to the memory of what it is rather than any image that I would create that I could then recall and recount to you.
This isn't something that people are necessarily born with. This can come on at any age.
We don't know enough about the science, but you're right. I've got a colleague who's had it happen in the last 2 years where he's lost the ability to image things, but he doesn't know why. And to be honest, I'm scratching my head because he's the first person I've come across. But majority of people, they seem to be born with it.
Mm.
Others have had it occur through either an illness, an accident, or anything else that you can imagine that would affect you neurologically. Mm. But there doesn't seem to be a one-size-fits-all. It seems to be unique enough to say, well, you're either born with it and you didn't know you had it, or suddenly you've had something and then you realise you've lost what you had. The book's based on my thoughts and ideas on what I've had and experienced, as well as about 30 other people who contributed to a survey that the publisher and I worked together on, that they completed and answered questions on.
Well, you didn't intend to write a book?
No. Where it started about 2 years ago, I wanted to read a book on holiday, and I've always struggled to read fiction books, but I wanted to read a particular fiction book, and I couldn't. And I really struggled with the first chapter. And I came back from holiday and I thought, right, that's it. I'm going to find out why I can't read. Because other people with dyslexia, I've got some form of dyslexia, they don't seem to struggle with science fiction or things like that as much. So I spent about a year trying to work out why and looking at research into it and a few other things. And then about a year in, my wife listened to a program on Jeremy Vine and said, oh, I've heard this chap talk about something. I think it's you. We listened back to the program. Yeah, it was. Mm. That's what I had. And then I tried to learn more about it, and in learning more about it, I wrote about it just to record it and kind of so I didn't forget. And then I got so far with it, I think I got up to about 15,000 words, and I thought maybe I could write something a bit more. And I think when I reached 100 pages, I thought, well, I should really try and see if I could get this published.
Mm.
And originally I was going to go to Amazon and self-publish, but then the publisher stepped in and they said, well, we'd like to work with you, and that's what happened. And the book's available on Amazon, Waterstones and other places and in paperback, so that bit feels kind of surreal, to be honest.
And is your picture on the back of the book?
No.
Oh, Alan, I'd have my picture on the front of the book, so you can go and go. No. I'd go into Waterstones and stand by it. Just to, is that you? Yeah, I've written that book. That's mine.
I didn't start out with this idea. And somebody said to me, they said, "Well, why did you write the book?" And I said, "Is it what people are going to learn from it? Maybe that have the condition or don't have the condition." And I said, "Well, those that have the condition will learn." Maybe how to adapt things. There's a guy at work's got it, and he found out this year, and he did something on holiday. He took a lot more pictures than he probably ever would have done before. He said, "I took pictures of everything, the wife, me, everything." And he said, "I wouldn't have known to do that before." Mm. And he said, "Now I come back." He said, "I've got better memories of the holiday through the pictures than I would have had before." So it's not so much about finding a cure or a fix at the moment for people. I think it's probably just helping each other that maybe have it and finding tricks and clues that maybe help us navigate the non-visual world that we're having.
Now, it's funny you were talking about reading fiction on holiday.
Yep.
I read lots of thrillers, and in my head, I've already got the lead man, I know the actor's going to play him, and in my head, I've got this story going on, and that's why sometimes you're disappointed when you see a film, that you go, "Oh, that's not as good as my actual image of everything." Yep. But when you read, you don't get any
Nothing.
Of that. So so you're just reading the words
on the page.
That must be really difficult.
Films are always brilliant because I'm thinking, I've never would have thought of it like that. So for me, films are always it's very visual.
So if you read sort of the man walked down the street and it was cold and very dark outside, as soon as I say that, people will get like an image of that in their heads.
Yep.
But you don't get anything.
No, just words. I have a degree in engineering. Which kind of feels weird when talking what we're talking about now. But I can read non-fictional stuff. But there's things like podcasts and audiobooks is another weird one. I can listen to podcasts, but I can't work with audiobooks. Audiobooks are a nightmare for me. And I looked into why that was different. And then I came across a term someone used. They said, "Oh, it's an unstructured conversation." And it's like this. It's a non-structured conversation. It's people talking without a beginning, a middle, and an end.
People say that about me all the time.
it's a conversation that takes place without necessarily an end point, a start point, or a middle point.
Yeah.
And audio books have the same problem for me as written books. I don't visualise enough to be able to follow it, and also the story kind of loses in my head.
There was a professor that's actually written in the book as well. Tell us a bit about him.
Professor Zeman, Adam Zeman, he's probably the lead expert at the moment in the condition. He's worked down in Exeter University Hospital, which probably it means that we're able to understand it a lot more. They had a patient which had the condition that they didn't realise that's what it was, but they produced some of the research that we're probably using today to explain what I'm doing, you know, how we're doing this now. He's able to tell things about what we now know about the condition, like what limits there are, what we can do, what we can't do. I think one of the things they are only starting to look at is the senses. We think all five senses are affected to some people, but we're not really sure how.
Mm.
It's like I don't hear any music or anything in my head other than through my ears, which is some people find quite strange. They say, "Well, do you not have a narrator? Do you not hear anything in your head?" No, there's nothing. It's just what I hear through my ears. And it's also probably food and taste is affected to some extent, but again, we don't really know yet, and that's not really any research has been done in that area.
Because that's another thing, put headphones on, bit of music, and that's people on the train or off into their different worlds of daydreaming, but you wouldn't have that either.
I can daydream, but it's non-visual daydream, which sounds really weird to say and probably even harder to explain, but it means I can think non-visually about things and solve problems in a non-visual way in my head, which we'll go into a little bit in the book of how that might work for me and possibly other people they explain from their side as well. But I think the basic thing is it's complicated. It's not something you can just say, "Oh, I really understand it straight off." I think the more you learn, the more you understand. And I think in the end, the book is good because it means people without, that maybe think they might have the condition, can pick it up and think, "Well, okay, is this me? Is this maybe how I feel about things? Is this maybe what I see or don't see?" As well as people that have got it and maybe say they want to understand, "Well, okay, well, what do others think? How do other people deal with it or cope with it? Or what do they learn from others and how to help themselves, really?"
The book is out now. Alan's written this. It's Experiences, Perceptions and Insights. And it's on Amazon. You can get it at Waterstones as well.
Online, yeah.
Online.
The publisher kind of pushed me and said, well, what do you see when you see something? And it's kind of weird to explain. And I said, you know, it's not really what you'd imagine. I said, if I try and focus on something and visualise it with my eyes open, I said, it's like a person seeing something out of the corner of their eye, mm-hmm. but in front of them.
Yeah.
But such little detail, and it almost starts to evaporate the more you try and stare at it and kind of concentrate.
Mm.
So it's almost proportional to the amount of energy you try and recover something. It just doesn't seem to work. You can't form a proper image. It's an essence of an image, but you can't really, I can't really form an image that I can say, right, draw that. And you try and draw it and you think, well, what was that?
So when you leave here and you've seen me, which is a terrible thing, and I do apologise, but would you actually, you won't remember me. So you won't remember anything about me, the way I looked or anything. So when you leave here, you can't actually see who you've just spoken. So if you met me again, would you not recognise me if you met me again in
yes,
a couple
so.
Of days? You would still recognise me.
That's another condition people have where they can't recognise
yeah.
faces.
Yeah.
I can recognise faces, but I couldn't. If you said to me, right, go outside and sketch what Michelle look like, or
just a big blue to be all right, that'd be
kind of recall it to someone else.
Yeah,
that's a bit of a struggle.
Yeah.
I would know you if I saw you in the street and we'd say hello. Yeah, I know. And but the problem is I don't have the depth of the visual imagery that you would probably be able to recall afterwards. No, I don't have that.
Is there any benefits to having this condition?
There's some benefits. I mean, I've lost people. I was I'm married now, but before met my wife, the lady I was with for 20 years, she died of a condition which was called calciphylaxis after she had a kidney transplant, which was quite harsh. I don't have any of the sad memories of that visually. I've seen people knocked down with car accidents and stuff and bike accidents. I don't have any of that. So I don't have any of the bad visual imagery. Then people say, oh, I don't want to have to remember that again.
Yeah.
That I don't have. And you almost feel like, you know, people in jobs where they didn't want to recall things.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, I'd be ideally suited. I wouldn't remember that stuff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have it as mental baggage.
Yeah.
So things like that, yeah, that's, I guess, the positive, the benefit.
Mm.
But then the downside is I don't remember images of mum and dad and people that I've lost. I have to look at pictures because I don't have things to recall. So my childhood, you know, basically whatever I can show, you know, from a Super 8 movie projection is probably all the memories I have, because I won't have any memories of me actually remembering it. So, but I'm trying to be a positive person about it. I think for me, the positive thing was writing the book and trying to share the knowledge of it existing. Because, I mean, I struggled at school terribly, but I wouldn't want anyone else to have the same struggles just because the information wasn't known by people that exist.
Mm.
It's crazy. The fact we know it now, we should be shared and say, right, if you have this, you can ask. You can ask for help and assistance. You know, if you was at school and you said, right, visualise this or draw this, you couldn't do it.
Mm.
I mean, there's a bit about it in my school days, and you know, when they say, oh, do this, and you kind of think, why are they doing that? And you just copy what everyone else does, because you don't realise they can do something you can't.
So thanks for coming in. It's a fantastic subject. And as I said, if you do want to get hold of a copy of Alan's book, it is out today. Fantastic. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Michelle.